Be'ezer Hashem, tonight, I'd like to do something that's a little bit different than what we normally do on Thursday nights in terms of the structure. Usually we talk about a sugi and lamdas, and then we try to point out how it develops in terms of our avodas hamidas. Tonight I'd really like to focus on the avodas hamidas itself. There is a lamdas sugi that's connected, but the focus is really on the avoda and the midos. When Moshe Rabbeinu begins the process of the makos, the description of makah number 2, the tzardeya, is very, very strange. In Perek Ches, Pasuk Beis, Vayet Aaron es yodo al meimei Mitzrayim, vatal hatzardeya, vatechas es eretz Mitzrayim. Now what's strange is when I read it as a child, when I was taught as a child, the Medrash, I thought that was strange. Only later did I realize that it's the Pasuk that's really strange. Let's take a look at Rashi, the Medrash that we're taught as young children. Vatal hatzardeya, tzardeya achas hoysa, there was one frog, and the Mitzrayim would hit it. Vihi michezes mechilin mechilin. It began to split. So the frog was hit by the Mitzrayim, and the frog continued to split. Now, in fact, this is alluded to, almost this exact Rashi is a Gemara. A Gemara where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gives a famous rebuke to Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Samach Zayin and Mebeis, has two opinions. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, Tzardeya achas haisa yishvitza umal kol eretz Mitzrayim. There was one frog that came out. Kitanoi, as was recorded in Machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva omer Tzardeya achas haisa umal kol eretz Mitzrayim. Rabbi Akiva said there must have been one frog and it filled Eretz Mitzrayim. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Akiva, malecha etzel hagada. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah accuses Rabbi Akiva of what we complain about sometimes, and that is people who are only into one area of Torah and ignore the other. So he says, Rabbi Akiva, what do you know about Jerush? Malecha etzel hagada. You know Masechus Negoyim and Alas, but you don't know how to darshan, Rabbi Akiva. Tzardeya achas haisa, sharka lemayim bo. He says there was one tzardeya, and he called all his other friends. So as a child, they didn't tell us the second sheet because it's not as dramatic, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who rejects Rabbi Akiva. But there is a machlokis. Where does this machlokis come from? So just in terms of pshat, we always have to be careful. This medrash is coming from a nuance in the Lashon Lepsukim. It says, Vatal Hatzvardeya, in the singular. So both Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva need to explain why it's in the singular. So Rabbi Akiva gives the dramatic explanation that the Mitzrayim kept on hitting the frog and more came out. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gives the pshat that one frog called, communicated to the others, which could be explained in much more of a natural vein. The Maharsha has no problem understanding Rabbi Akiva. He wants to know why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah doesn't like Rabbi Akiva. The fact that the frog was hit and split over again, is the Maharsha doesn't have any problem with it. Rather, the Maharsha just adds something very beautiful. The Maharsha says, you know why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't like this pshat? The Maharsha says, the reason why is because we know that up until the Magefa of the Kinim, so then those Magefas were all something that the Chartumim were able to replicate. He says, such a phenomenon, that the frog is getting hit over and over again, and splitting and splitting and splitting, so that, the Maharsha says, wouldn't fit according to the approach. It says that the Chartumim were able to replicate every single Makkah. So whether it is just a physical phenomenon that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah doesn't like, or it's what the Maharsha says based on the idea of Kinim, either way, this is the machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. For our Avodas Hashem, actually, Rabbi Akiva's Shita is much more fascinating. The Stipler in Birchas Peretz, it's worthy of reading inside, says a well-known vart. We'll take a step back, Bezer Hashem, and examine a couple of sugyas in light of the Stipler's vart. Stipler asks the basic question. V'hine, kishiro ha-mitzriyim ha-makam osa, ki al-yidei zeh mosifo lahatis fardoim harbed. If the Mitzriyim see, after they hit a couple of times, that there are many frogs, halo adas nosen, shitzriyim ha-hasik, stop. So you hit it once, you got upset, it multiplies. So you hit it twice, hit it three times. But how could it be that Mitzriyim is full of frogs? At the end of the day, eventually stop. Halo adas nosen. Zat the Stipler, famous vart, avol mami das akas omeres. The cast blinds a person. Ad the rabba, mikimun shemosifa lahatis, kol shekein, the kol shekein shetzrichim losif lusnakin. For every time he hits and he doesn't kill the frog, he's got to hit him more. He abandons all rationality. To the point that by the time he grabs himself, he realizes it's too late. It's multiplied so much. And if a few mitzrim are doing that, and they've lost their component of rational thinking, so then eventually Mitzrayim is full of frogs. And the Stipler continues, V'chenu b'chol makom shekotzim. So many instances when we get angry, kim yishbu cherpasam v'lo yoshivu. So many times when someone hurts us and we get angry, if we would just be quiet, yishtakeh adover la'at. Eventually the matter will be forgotten. Avol, kishim yishivu l'shinegdo. But what happens when we respond? Hareu mosif lahashiv lumaso. Then what happens is the matter becomes worse and worse. The anger becomes greater and greater. It's interesting. Rav Simon in the Imre Baruch quotes Rav Yitzchak only Volozhin, who said from Rav Chaim of Volozhin, from the Baal Nefesh Achaim, said that's the mesorah of how to deal with people that you oppose. The disciple is not mitzayin to this, but it's the same lesson. It could be that the disciple was inspired by this idea. That the best way to deal with people who are keneged our appropriate hashkafos is not to hit them and hit them and hit them, because then it just escalates and allows them to grow. But sometimes the best thing is to be quiet. That's what Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin is quoted saying. But leaving aside Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin's vart, what we're focusing on now is this the Stipler's Yisod about Kass, and that sometimes what happens with Kass is that we begin to entirely lose our sense of proportion. There's a well-known idea from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Rav Chaim brings home this point as well. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't zocha to teach the parsha of Geulah Midbar. The Medrash says, why didn't he teach the halachas of Yardei? It's an amazing thing. You guys are sitting learning Yardei for 1 year, 2 years. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get the zechus of all that. Why? The Medrash says because beforehand Moshe Rabbeinu had gotten upset that the utensils of Midian were taken by Bnei Yisrael and they weren't handled properly, so it was described as Vayiksof Moshe al Pekudei Chayil. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was right to get upset, but nevertheless he wasn't able to teach halacha. Ask Reb Chaim Shmuel, if it's not fair. At the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu was doing what he was supposed to do as a manik. He was showing them that they were wrong. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Kass is not an onet, doesn't receive an onesh. Kass receives a totsa'a, a result. That when a person is angry and when he loses control, he loses some sense of rationality. And of course, to pass on the Maseres of Yaradeya, to teach the Maseres of Yaradeya, you need a tremendous sense of lucidity. So Moshe Rabbeinu lost a little bit of his lucidity. He was chayiv to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't an onesh. In a chanami, he didn't do anything wrong. But rather, the mitzius of kass is that the kass is mafkia from a certain type of seichel. Not that chinas an onesh, but rather kass is mafkia from some type of from seichel. Now, first, I just want to delineate two well-known exceptions to this yisod. Two well-known exceptions of when kass seems to be on some level appropriate. This Gemara is not discussed. I want to share it with you for Talmidim in the room as well as people who want to be future mechanikim. We should know that there is a Gemara that seems to emphasize something that's a little bit different vis-a-vis Kach. The Gemara in Brachas and Samach Gimel on the Beis tells us the following. Talmud, if you have a Talmud, Shekoes alav Rabbo, his Rebbe is Koes, gets angry at him. Pam Rishona v'shosek, if he does it once and he's silent, Zoche lehavtin ben dam Talmud adam tar. So the Talmud gets cast from his Rebbe. Now remember, Moshe Rabbeinu as a Rebbe was Koes, he wasn't able to teach anything. Yet this Gemara says that a Talmud that receives cast from his Rebbe, that's a little bit lacking here in Yeshiva's Rebbe Yitzchak Elchanan. The Rebbeim don't scream enough at the boys. We have to scream more at the boys. Out of love. But we have to give muscle sometimes. So a Talmud that it receives cast from his Rebbe, and the Talmud doesn't respond, so then in such a case, that Talmud will be zochet to differentiate between Dam Tome and Dam Tar, he'll be able to paskin in Yoredeh. The Kol Tam Shekosev Alav Rabbo Pam Rishona Vishnia, and a Talmud that gets rebuked by his Rebbe not once, but his Rebbe has to rebuke him again, a second time. Zochel Hamtin Bedine Mamanus Uldine Nefashis. He goes even to a higher Madrega. He'll reach the Madrega being able to paskin Dine Mamanus Uldine Nefashis. We'll, of course, make reference to the Gemara in Shabbos and other places that talks about Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos, Nizikin as being Chachma, as being even a higher Madrega than Yoredeya. But wait a second. On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu can't be a Rebbe. On the other hand, the Gemara in Bracha says that someone who's Mekabel from his Rebbe, so then he's going to reach a great Madrega. So I think just to understand what's going on, we need Kosov Ashlishi, and this Kosov Ashlishi is the Gemara in Shabbos, a well-known Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Hey on the Beis. I actually photocopied it. They're interdispersed. There are two sets of copies here. We're going to make use of both of them. The Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Hey on the Beis, where the Gemara describes the different types of tasks. This one has a photocopy of an Achron on the back, and there's Gemara Shabbos on the front. I'll speak it out. For those of you who don't get one, I'll speak out the Gemara. The Mishnah tells us, so again, everybody hears the Kasha? On the one hand, right? You hear the Kasha? On the one hand, we say that a Rebbe can't be because he's in Salman Menu Halacha. Yet on the other hand, we say vis-a-vis the role of a Talmud is that a Talmud needs to internalize the Kasha of his Rebbe. So it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu might have been Mechuyev, but to the point that someone who internalizes the cap, that's such a high madriga. What's going on over here? So I want to develop two different levels of exceptions to the halachos of kas, and then come back to see what the musar of kas is. So the Mishnah tells us, what we're going to do is first go through a famous Gemara, in the famous Shaklavatari in Masechet Shabbos, and then just point out Pashup Shad. Then come back and point out the two exceptions to cast, and then come back and be ma'ayin a little bit more in the lumdus of the Gemara. Mishnah tells us, HaKareya b'chamasa v'al meso v'chol ha'mekalkalin p'turin. If a person tears and he's mekalkal on Shabbos, he's potter. What are the examples the Mishnah gives us? Someone who tears in anger, or chas v'chalila, someone who tears for a p'tira. Now the Gemara says that there is a b'raisa that says that you're chayiv. One Brisa says you're chayiv, and our Mishnah says that you're patur. 10 lines before the why, the Gemara says, Lo kasha, ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Shimon. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, Malach Hashem Tzugufa is chayiv, so here you're going to be chayiv. Rabbi Shimon, who holds Malach Hashem Tzugufa is patur, here you're going to be patur. Tonight we're not going to discuss the sugya of Malach Hashem Tzugufa, although I'd like to in the future. So the Gemara then comes along and says, but wait a second, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, how could it be that it's permissible? Ukai Gavna, 4 lines before the Y, 3 lines before the Y, the Gemara asks, Ukai Gavna Mishari, in such a case is it permissible? Vatanya Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Chilfa Bar Igra, the famous Gemara in the name of Yochanan ben Uri, that someone who breaks his kalim in anger, Yiyeba Necha Kaoved Avodah Zarah, you should view it as if you're serving Avodah Zarah, Shekachum Naso Shal Yetzara, Yom Amar Lo Asei Kach, Ad sha'omer lo avod avod azara v'holich v'oved. Wow. So someone who is going to fall into the trap of kas, so then ultimately that individual will come to avodah zarah. The Gemara answers, famous teretz, six lines into the wide. Lo tzricha, first word in the wide is yetzahara. De ka'avah lemir ma'emsa in shebeisa. So Gemara tells us an exception to the terrible avera of kas. Kol ha'koyes kilu avodah avodah zarah. The Gemara says that if a person is feigning anger, and the person is doing it to create a certain sense of seriousness, so then in such a case it's mutter. Not only is the Gemara saying it's mutter, I think the Gemara is saying that there's time for it, it's appropriate for it. That rabbosai is something that's not easy in life to discern. There are rabbeim who they scream at the Talmidim, they give mussar to the Talmidim because they're frustrated with themselves. They give mussar to their Talmidim because they're frustrated something that happened at home. They could sometimes give mussar to Talmidim, or even hit their Talmidim, because the milk was spoiled in the morning. And then there are some rabbeim who could give just as hard mussar, who could hit the Talmidim just as hard. I'm not advocating it, by the way, today. I told you in the past that I was hit by my fifth grade rabbi very, very hard, and I'm very, very thankful for it. I think it was because he really was doing it lishma. Again, I don't do it. I wouldn't do it if I was teaching elementary school either. Actually, I did. Just remember, I went out. I saw someone texting in the middle of the shiur. It was a new boy in the shiur. I was warned by the Rosh Hashiva that he wasn't shack with the rest of the boys this year, and he was texting. I went over and I gave him a friendly slap across the face. But aside from that. There are rabbeim that do it, and they really it's something that's really, really appropriate. It's up to the Talmud to be able to discern which rabbi is giving him mussar out of love, and which rabbi is giving him out of mussar because of shortness in his personality. The Talmud that's able to discern those emotions, the Talmud one day will be able to discern halacha. We don't believe that halacha and emotions are two distinct different worlds. We believe, of course, halacha exists, is not created by emotions, but those are two valid forms of human existence. If a person who has a koach to be able to discern human emotion, be able to discern rebuke, good rebuke from bad rebuke, so then that's someone who will be able to have vizoka tisiyata dishnaya in amelus batorah and havanas. That's exception number one. So kas from a rebbe is sometimes that's really something that's really, really necessary in the pedagogical process. The one other exception is kriya chas v'chalila on a niftar. That kriya on a niftar seems also to be an expression, not necessarily of kas, but the Gemara says that it's not enough to tear kriya just to have a wear a beg a karua. At least that's the way Taisus on Favdalad on the Nalf understands it according to one sheet of Tosfos. The Gemara says, the simple reading of the Gemara is that way. Kol korea kriya she'ena b'shas chimum ena korea. If a person doesn't do the kriya at the time that they're feeling the chimum of the loss, in such a case it's not considered a kriya. In fact, the Torah Tamima argues that there must be a chiyuv to tear b'shas kriya, because the Torah Tamima argues on the pasuk of uvigdechem lo sifromu, that Chazal learned that the Kohen Gadol is not supposed to tear, but everybody else is supposed to tear. That's how Chazal darshan and Gemara Moikaton on Tesvav Amid Aleph. So the Torah Tamima says that in this case, if someone does kriya but doesn't do a b'shas chimum, then of course he isn't yotzei the mitzvah. The Gemara, though, at the same time says that someone who gets a beged later on should tear kriya afterwards, even if it's not b'shas p'tira, not b'shas chimum. So Tosfos seems to be saying that there are two different chiyuvim, that there's one chiyuv to tear b'shas chimum, and then there's another halacha that says that the avol needs to wear a beged karua. And the Torah Tamima proves it. The Torah Tamima says, wait a second. If the chiyuv is only to wear a beged karua, then how could a person tear the beged? What about the yisur of bal tashnis? Elamai, he says, that there's a chiyuv to tear dafka b'shas chimum. There's a chiyuv to tear dafka b'shas chimum. And that's the simple reading of the Gemara Chav Dalet Amud Aleph Amud Katan. So the first exception, I understand. The heter to tear b'shas kriya, what's the Tartamim saying? Let me just elaborate a little more. Tartamim is saying like this. He's saying it's not only that there's a chiyuv for the avel to wear a beged karua, but rather it must be that there's a chiyuv to tear. Otherwise, there would be nisra baal tashris. If the Torah comes along and says that the way you're supposed to be miyashev your das b'shas tira, this is how the Rambam writes it in Perek Zayin Hilchos Shabbos, is by tearing the beged. That's what the way you do it. You're miyashev your das. So then there's no isra baal tashris. Why? Because there's a tikkun that comes out of it. So on both sides, what we see is another exception to the halacha of not at all allowing to express this type of passion. Maybe it's not called anger, but some type of passion. And that is that there is a chiyuv b'shas yitzias haneshama to tear. Not only is there a chiyuv for the avel to wear a beged karua, argues the Tarat Mima, but rather he's supposed to tear b'shas chimum. So this is another nafmina. I mentioned in the past, actually we discussed this in the summer call this past summer, that as well, that I don't think that the minhag that's developed in America today fits well into the Gemara and according to the Rishonim. The Gemara says, "Kol kriya she'ena kriya b'shas chimum ena kriya," which means that the kriya should really be done at the shas p'tira. The minhag today in America is that they wait till the levaya. But it's supposed to be done b'shas yitzias neshama. There's a lot of discussion in Gesher HaChaim why that the minhag developed in such a way. Now, Rabotai, now I want to get into the minei ube. Okay, let's get into. Now I want to get to the meat of what we're discussing in Alamdus, and then try to bring out a few tzarachiyuns, both in terms of Alamdus and in terms of Machshava, and then see what we could do with this. Actually, if I can ask somebody, does somebody here have any Geras HaRamban? Does the Siddur have any Geras HaRamban? The Geras HaRamban I want to get to later on. Okay. Rabotai, let's look back in the Gemara Shabbos. Let's take a look back in that Gemara.
I mean, have it on
the computer. Okay, so we'll get to it shortly. So the Gemara over here, says, all right, Rav Ben has it on the computer, we'll be all right. We'll be okay. The Gemara says, what was the Gemara's question? Uki haigavna mishari. In such a case, is it permissible to tear just because you're angry? The Gemara said you're doing a tikkun because you're. Thank you. So the Gemara says you're doing a tikkun by tearing. Is that really permissible? At the end of the day, you're not allowed to. Now, Rabosai, how do you fit this statement of the Gemara with the Rambam that many of you have in front of you? The Rambam in Perek Ches Halacha Ches seems to contradict this Gemara. The Rambam writes that if someone is mazik on Shabbos, so then in such a case, the halacha is that he's chayav, it's considered a kilkel with a tikkun. Let's read the Rambam's lashon. Avachol b'chaveiro, afal pishin iskaven lahazik chayav, mipnei nachas ruach, sharei niskaro daito v'shokvo chamoso, v'areim kimisaken. So what does the Rambam say, Rabosai? The Rambam says that someone who hits someone on Shabbos, and he's chovel that person, since it calms him down, then it's permissible. Does that fit with our Gemara? On Kuf Hei, on the Beis in the Sefer Shabbos? Does that fit with the Gemara? The Ravid asks, no. Our Gemara said that the only time you're going to be chayv is if you're feigning anger. But the fact that you're calming yourself down, it's still asur. That's not considered a tikkun. The Rambam, for some reason, says that if a person is calming himself down through this process, then by definition, the halacha is that he's chayiv.
that's enough for it to be considered tikkun. How did the Rambam read the Gemara? The Gemara seems to be against this. So Magid Mishnah explains that the Rambam reads the question, Ukai Gavna Mishari. The Rambam is not asking, in such a case, is it permissible, and therefore, if it's Mikalkel, it should be considered Potter on Shabbos. The Rambam already considers it a Tikkun. However, now the Rambam is learning, and the Gemara asks a separate question. It is a Tikkun. But the Gemara now asks, but wait a second, you're not allowed to do it altogether. To which the Gemara says you're feigning anger. So of course someone who's Chovel is not allowed to do it. But is he doing a Tikkun because he's calming down? The Rambam holds yes. That's how the Rambam learns. Rashi, and we're going to focus the rest of the time on Rashi. Rashi does not learn the Kasha that way. Let's take a look at Rashi, Dibur HaMaschil, Mishari. Says Rashi, Mishari, Alma lav nesakenu, shemilamed umargil es yitzro lav olam. The simple reading of the Gemara is by Shitas Rashi. And that is that the Gemara is saying, wait a second, how could you say that it's a tikkun by calming down? But at the end of the day, that's not a tikkun, that's a kilkul. Kas is a terrible thing. Someone who does kas is in the comely day avodah zarah. To which the Gemara answers, the Gemara says, no, he's feigning anger. So, this is the machlokes between Rambam and Rashi. According to Rambam, even if you're not allowed to do it, if at the end you calm down, that's enough to be chayiv, that's enough to be considered a tikkun. According to Rashi, that's not. The only way it would be considered a tikkun if he's mamish feigning anger. That's the machlokes between Rambam and Rashi, and the Magid Mishnah that you have in front of you points out that the Rambam read the Gemara Shaila differently than Rashi, but we're now, for the rest of the time, going to focus on Rashi's way of learning the Gemara. Merkevas HaMishnah, on the page behind you, leaves us off with Sarach Yun number one, the great Kasha on Rashi. And I think the question in Lomdus that the Merkevas HaMishnah is asking gets to the heart of the Machshava of Kas, of what is Pshat Kol HaKoyes Kilu Oved Avodah Zarah, and how that relates to our Avodah as well. In the last paragraph by Anches in the Merkevas HaMishnah, Merkevas HaMishnah asks, well, let's see how he quotes Rashi. We'll read the whole paragraph. Amnam milashon Rashi, he's contrasting Rashi to the Ravid and the Rambam. Shekosav shere margul es yitzro, niler faresh te'en ha-kilkul mitzad ha-isur. The kilkul is not only about the isur, el mitzad atzmo, that he himself is becoming the kulko. De me'achar shehu margul es yitzro, because he's causing his yetzer to be in the habit of getting angry, so then he can't let the frustration sit inside. So the question is, wait a second, in such a case, he's being mekalkel his whole tzura. He's being mekalkel who he is. To which the Gemara answers, you're right, if you're being mekalkel yourself, then by definition that can't be called a tikkun over here. However, the Merkevas HaMishnah asks, Ach, akati ein zeh maspik. Dekol melacha shehi tikkun b'shaita l'kilkul achar zman yeh potter. Merkevas HaMishnah asks a great kasha. Listen to his sharp kasha. He says, Rashi seems to be meduyah to learn that the kilkul over here is that he's being mekalkel himself. Not vis-a-vis the chepetz, but he's being mekalkel himself. If the issue is that he's being mekalkel himself, how did Rashi say he's being mekalkel himself? In the future, he's becoming a kaisan. He's becoming someone who gets angry. But in the here and now, is he making himself feel better? He is. So in the here and now, there's a tikkun. Bechura asks the Merkevas HaMishnah, and he asks the following question. He says, what would happen if you did a malacha on Shabbos that right now the malacha is good? You'll use the totsah of the malacha. It's a tikkun, but it's not a long-term tikkun. What would the classic example be? You have someone, for Shabbos, he has a tear on his suit. So let's say, chas v'chalila,
some reason he has a Yetzihara to thread his suit, so he threads it quickly so he can go out to Mincha and he won't have a tear on his suit. So he's not going to leave the tear that if he's got a wedding on Sunday night. You know, for Shabbos, for Mincha, that's one thing. But if he's got a wedding in Sunday night at the marina, he's not going to that sloppy job that he's going to do. That is going to take to the tailor. So ask him, Merkelis HaMishnah. In such a case, will he be chayiv on Topher, on what he did on Shabbos? Pasha, of course, he'd be chayiv. That'll be Pasha, he's chayiv in such a case. That's a tikkun. Even though for later on, it's not a tikkun. But right now, it's a tikkun, that's enough. Ask the Merkelis HaMishnah, who cares about the fact that he's being malamed his yetzer right now, in the here and now? In the here and now, he's being malamed himself to he's being misakin himself. Only in the future is he being malamed himself to become a kaisen. That's sarafun number one that I'd like to analyze based on Shem Nesugi. You hear the Merkavis and Mishnah's kasha? It's a nice kasha. Let's go off tangent a little bit. For question number two, let's ask a very, very basic question. And ask, even before we get to the Igeres HaRamban, what exactly does it mean, kol ha-kois ki'ilu ovei ha-bazai? Kash is a terrible thing. But azoi vayt, so far, ki'ilu ovei ha-bazai? What does that mean? So when Chazal say it, do they mean that he's mamish going to come lidei avodah zarah? So the truth is, a simple reading of the Gemara in Shabbos that we saw sounds like it. But sometimes Chazal uses the expression, kol ha-kois ki'ilu ovei avodah zarah. It's as if. And according to the Gemara in Shabbos, he's going to come basof lidei avodah zarah. Really? We know people who have tempers. We know that there are times that we struggle with kas. But that's never brought us to avodah zarah. So opinion number two is, what does that mean? Kol ha-kois ki'ilu ovei avodah zarah. The next couple of minutes, I'd like to ask another couple of questions in the Igeres HaRamban. The Igeres HaRamban, of course, is a classic. There's a reason why you don't even have to remember to bring the Igeres HaRamban. You just look for a sitter in the classroom and you'll find the Igeres HaRamban. It's such a beautiful work, and I tell the Talmidim all the time that we could sit and pound out Pshat Nechidush HaRamban for 3 days to try to figure out. But the Igeres HaRamban, it's like you daven up, even people who are actually goris it, so what they daven it up after davening. So let's just read the Igeres HaRamban the way we would read a Chidush HaRamban. And this beautiful Igeres, when you take a closer look at it, there are a lot of Chidushim here. There are a lot of Chidushim what the Ramban is saying, that at first glance we don't notice, at second glance it's hard to understand, and third glance maybe there's something that's really, really deep over here that the Ramban is trying to bring out. The Ramban starts off, Shema b'ni Musar avich v'al titosh Torah simecha. The Pasuk in Mishlei. Then he says, Tisna heik tamid l'daber kol dvarecha b'nachas v'chol adon v'chol eis, uvazeh t'inasel min hakas. Be careful to speak softly, and with this you'll be saved from kas. And he describes, Shehi nida ra'al ha'achdi b'nei adon. It's one of the worst midos that a person can have. Causes a person to sin. Reference probably to Kol HaKois Ki'ilu Ovei Avodah Zarah. What's the hemshech of the Ramban? He starts off by saying, speak b'nachas, and he says, by speaking b'nachas, you'll be saved from kas. What's pshat? The Ramban says, pshuto kimashmo, you speak b'nachas, then you'll be tinatzel minakas. So we know speaking nicely is something that's very, very important. What does the Ramban mean? That if you speak nicely, then by that you'll be saved from kas. That's sarafiyah number three. Then he says, V'chein omar avasein kol ha-kois kol mine again in shaltim bo. It's a living hell, kas. And he describes how terrible it is. And then he says, V'chasher tinatzel min ha-kas, tala alidcha midas ha-anava. And once you're saved from kas, so then raise up to your heart the midah of anava. Tzarechiyu number four is, well, what's the Ramban saying? That when you're tinatzel min hakas, to then work on anava. What's the hemshech over here? Kas is a bad midah. We need to work on it. But what's the relationship between kas and tala libcha midas anava. So Rabosai, it seems clear that there is two dinim in kas. There are two parts to kas. For example, the Gemara in Pesachim on Kufi Gimel on the day says that someone who is a roseach, interestingly, here the Gemara describes it in terms of almost the verb roseach. He's heated. A roseach chayeim einam chayim. Roseim chayeim einam chayim. People who are hot-headed, they don't live life. And then we have what Rashi told us in Shabbos. Rashi said that a person eventually, if he's koes all the time, so then he trains himself to react to life's challenges in a way that's inappropriate. So there, it's not the process of the kas itself, it's not the period of the kas itself, but rather it's the way in which a person relates to life's challenges. Not the verb of kas, not the roseach, but rather it's his perspective, the way he looks at life's experiences. With that observation, now let's go through Ramban's trajectory. Ramban starts off, and Ramban says, speak softly. You know what the Ramban is saying? Ramban is saying that there are some people out there, a roseach, if he gets hot, so then what happens is he tries to survive in his anger, in his kas, by pushing everybody else out of the way. It's an amazing, amazing phenomenon. We have people that are sitting in jail for murdering someone else simply because Shimon cut off Reuven. Reuven gets so angry that he could actually pull a trigger to kill Shimon. It's mind-boggling. How could such a thing happen? How does such a thing happen? And the answer is that someone who's a roseach, chayeyem einam chayim, he loses all sense of life. He loses all sense of proportion. Entirely loses his sense of proportion. To the point that he lost all sense of proportion, that the world revolved around him. The world no longer revolves around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chayeim einam chayim, they're no longer living with the rationality. The makar of all rationality is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Das. Das is the chibur between the Olam HaElyon and the Olam HaTachton. And that's why a person could do what he does when he's koes. Because the world revolves around him. Let's go now back to Lashon Hara. You want to know how to deal with that problem of trying to be able to be makir, that there's a world out there, that there's a borei olam out there, and that you and I have a particular shlichus, and that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not supposed to get the meeting on time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this wasn't the job that you were supposed to get. Very, very simple formula. It's a big chidush. The Geres HaRamban is saying a big chidush. But it works. And then it is, just first, speak softly. And the Ramban is saying that if we speak softly, then by definition, we'll be able to be matzlim in akas. Again, what was his exact lashon? Ramban said, "Tisnaheg l'tami l'daver kol dvarecha benachas u'bazet minatzol menachas." By definition, it'll be minatzol menachas. So Ramban is making a chadish. If a person speaks softly, then why? Because he's realizing that the entire world doesn't always revolve around him, and that sometimes someone else is going to have to go first. And someone else sometimes is going to be right. And that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu destines that someone else get what he wanted to get and what he thinks he's deserving to get. So that we've already answered the said pshat about what it means kol ha-kohes kilu oved avodah zarah, because when a kohes is mamish in the state of anger, so then in such a case he's lost all sense of proportion. The world entirely revolves him around him to the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist at all. And yes, that's what our Gemara in Shabbos is also saying, that if a person continues to be a kaisan, then his self is going to be a zilbid of Arsad. Because ultimately he's denying the whole notion of Hashkach and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful world. And once a person reaches this madrega of being minatzel minakas, just simply by speaking softly, by simply showing kavod and haracha for somebody else, then talalib chamidas anava. Now you're ready to start anava. The way you go about achieving anava is first by working on the bein adam lechavera. It's a massive chiddush that the Ramban is saying the way you achieve anava is by first working on the ability to accept that there are other neshamos in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world that represent the chelek elokam imal, and the one who's pulling the strings above is kudsha b'richu b'kvado v'atzma. And that's how you achieve anava. It's interesting. You see over and over again, the people who exhibit a lot of anava, something almost seems natural to them. You watch with them and saw anava is just something that's natural to them. The reason why anava is natural to him is because he's trained himself in his bein adam lechavera. And I know that there are times I see that he, every once in a while, you get a glimpse that he even grabs himself in bein adam lechavera. He's worked on himself to the point that, therefore, memela, once the bein adam lechavera was so refined, so then there's a kavod haracha for the zulas. Eventually, that kavod haracha for the zulas ultimately leads to kavod and haracha in terms of our entire tafkin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and anava klape kuchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now let's go back to Makeves HaMishnah's kasha. Or the Makeves HaMishnah's kasha on Rashi. Rashi had said that over here it's considered a kilkul because his nature is being trained to the point of which he's becoming a kaisan. Asks him Rekeves HaMishnah, but at the end of the day, wait a second, Rashi. Right now it's a tikkun for him. Because he's being miyashiv daito. Rabosai, what Rashi is telling us is that when it becomes part of his teva, and what does it mean that it becomes part of his teva? Part of his teva that one day he's going to come to serve Avodah Zarah. The reason that's happening is because b'shas maisa, there's a kilkul that's taking place. B'shas maisa, the person is denying that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. Raschem einem chayem. People get angry, they're not living in the moment. What does it mean that they're not living in the moment? They're not seeing the entire picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. That's not called a chayim. That's not called a way of life. Oh. That's so. So now we understand exactly what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying that the person becomes an entirely different person. In the end, his Yetzer takes over, that he constantly sees the world only from his perspective, only from the perspective of Gaiva, because right now his Chaim is not a Chaim. But of course, even if the Merkeves HaMishnah is right, Rashi holds, in his reading of Rashi, Rashi holds that, of course, mitchila, it's a kilkul. It's a kilkul right away. Because the whole kilkul la'asid comes from the fact that he's not reading the experience in the moment properly. That when someone wrongs us, we're not living that experience appropriately. If we exhibit kas. Because then we're denying the whole bechina of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be, I say this for Lashon Ulai, I never understood the chiyuv of Kriya by an Avel, if the Torah Tmima is right. That's not just simply the pshat, that an Avel has to wear a beged kavua. But the pshat is that the Avel is supposed to show chimum.
So I don't understand. I never understood the destructive component of it. If it's the idea that the avel is supposed to show that he's an avel by wearing a bag of karua, fine. But the Torah to me claims that that's not so. The pashas of the Gemara is not so. That there has to be a kriya that takes place for shastimu. So isn't that destructive at the end of the day? Isn't that something that's very, very reminiscent of someone who's koes, that the Gemara and Shabbos and Kuf Hay on the base that someone says Mishabris can, it's a terrible thing? So maybe one could suggest, the Lashon Ulai, that the moment of Yitzias Neshama, that moment is antithetical to the whole Bechina of a Koes. The moment of Yitzias Neshama, and this we've argued in the past, we were Ma'arich on this in other Parashat Shirim, the moment of Yitzias Neshama is a very special transcendental spiritual moment from people who experience it, who said that they've experienced it. Something that's very, very, that's very, very unique. It's mamish watching Imruchi Gviyasi. It's mamish watching the Ruach go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in such a case, so there, the Kriya is not a Kriya that's minus Kutcha Brichu. There, the Kriya is the sense of loss. Sense of loss, but not a sense of minus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hefach. It's the understanding, the recognition that just like this beautiful person is no longer the same as a corpse, so too it's recreating it in the Shimum, in the Beged. But not the Pshat that's an expression of anger minus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hefach. It's the experience of something much more transcendental. So maybe that's why it's referred to as chimum and it's not referred to as kas, and that's the difference between kriya b'shas chimum and the Gemara saying kol kois kihu avei avodah zarah. How does this relate to our own avodah? There's a beautiful story that somehow always resonates with me when I think about this whole notion of Ladaber Benachas and thinking of the Zulas. It's a well-known story. They say that after the Holocaust, there were a bunch of orphans that were in England who were learning by, I think it was a Rosh Hashiva, Rav Schneider. And Rav Schneider called the boys together who were separated, either didn't have parents or were separated from their parents. And he said, now you're going to be able to go back to your families. And I just want to be ma'arif, two boys who did some very special avodah for the yeshiva. And both of the boys, I believe their names were Moshe. Said the first Moshe that woke up everybody for davening, he should be zocheh to become a big talmid chacham and a big man in Klal Yisrael. And the other Moshe who went out to buy bread for the boys for breakfast, then he should be zocheh to become... have a lot of bread to become very, very wealthy. And they say the bracha is Mekuyam. And that the first Moshe woke up the boys is Rav Sternbuch, and the other Moshe was Mr. Reichman in Toronto. The bracha was Mekuyam. The beautiful punchline is that when they reminded Mr. Reichman of the story, he says, I wish I was the guy who woke up the people in the morning instead of the one who had gone for the bread. Which in itself is, that's for those of us who don't have a lot of money and try to learn a little bit of Torah, it's a nice reminder of Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu. Thinking about the Zulas first, thinking about others first, is really the step even before what the Ramban is saying. The step before being able to speak softly is really to begin to think about someone else. And then the world doesn't revolve around us, and that saves us from kas. That's the way to go about it. Talmidim have asked me, everything have asked me, how do you go about dealing with kas? That's the way to do it. The way to deal with kas is to think and to process the idea that everything does not revolve around my she'ifos. And let's put it in practical terms. L'aniyas daiti. When an avreich walks home, walks into the house. We can't be entirely selfless.
My wife always says that a husband or a wife is going to try to be entirely selfless. Eventually, they're going to become a shmata. They'll view themselves as a shmata. They themselves will not be productive. But I think when we come home, for the first hour, we should be thinking entirely about other people, about everybody else in the house, not about ourselves. You're allowed to eat supper. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to do anything that revolves around you, that satisfies your needs. But to train ourselves at the first hour, and the first hour is the most critical. In fact, the truth is it's the first 10 minutes that are most critical when we come home. But maybe we can even push it for an hour. That for the first hour, that the world doesn't revolve around our needs, that there is someone else's needs that are truly, truly come first. Let me conclude with a story that goes in mamish the opposite direction. The beautiful one about the Moishas. I had a friend, I wouldn't say a close friend, but someone who I had known, who I had gone to yeshiva with in YU, and I thought of setting him up with my sister-in-law. My wife has an older sister, who my wife and I got married when I was 21, she was 19. My sister-in-law was a year or two older, and my sister-in-law did not get married for another 9 or 10 years later. It turns out that she married someone who only became religious 2 years before they got married. So that was Ashkacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want her to find a guy, so she went out with a lot of guys beforehand, and one of them was a guy I had set up who I know from YU. Actually, when I called him up, I hadn't seen him for a while. I called him up. Remember, he was a very nice fellow. I called him up. He said to me, "Tanya, you should just know that I've changed a little." So I asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "Okay, go." So he picks her up on the date. I don't know. I'm not into shidduchim at all, so I don't know any dating rules. But I know something went terribly, terribly wrong. That much I do know. And where he went wrong in the dating rules, I don't exactly know. You know, we're already parents together, Yashchenu Nachash, but I've never been involved with Shidduchim Haraya. I failed for 9 years with my sister-in-law. So, by the way, the only person I ever set up, my wife and I set up successfully, was my Chavrusa and her best friend. And that was the first we set up 3 months into our marriage. We set up my Chavrusa and her best friend, and they got married, and we thought we were going to go on a roll forever. And since then, we've been one for the last who knows how many. And so I continued to fail with my sister-in-law. And this guy took her out. And 5 minutes in, 10 minutes in, he gets a phone call. And he answers the phone. Are you supposed to do that on a date? Are you allowed to do it? You're not allowed to do that. Okay. That's pretty bad? Okay. It only gets much worse. So he answers the phone, and basically his friend called him, told him that he was in a tough spot, and he went to pick him up because his car was at a mechanic. He picked up his friend, and he dropped him off somewhere else. He drove around a little bit more, then he told my sister-in-law it was late, and then he took her back home. That's essentially what happened. And this was a really, really nice guy. I knew why. I sat next to him in shir. A really nice guy, at least at the time that I knew him. So I both said, what happened? So there are a bunch of men only in the room. Maybe if there are women who are listening to this, maybe they could turn it off. But basically, I think what happened is he met her for 5 minutes. And he'd been going out, he must have been older by then, he was 25, 26, 27, probably been a little bit frustrated with his dating. And he probably had a shtick with his friend, that what they would do is that he would decide after 5 or 10 minutes whether it was matim or whether it wasn't matim. And to save her a lot of time, to save him a lot of time and money, might as well make a snap decision after 5 or 10 minutes, and that's it. Now, Rabbo said, I just want to emphasize, obviously it's terrible. It's terrible. And this was a really, really, what I thought, really, really sweet guy. I knew him for quite a few years. In fact, he even, it just hit me now, just remembering now, he even helped me edit Rabbi Brian Shmuel's Sefer. When we were redoing the Sefer. So what happened? What happened in those 5-6 years since I had met him last year? Now when you say it over, it sounds absolutely terrible. He had lost the essence of what marriage is all about. He had begun, and through his frustrations in dating, and it's a very, very frustrating experience. It's a very frustrating experience. But in his dating process, he had began to entirely think about me, 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 to the point that a person could do such a thing. For our boss, I have a fast one for you and I right now. For those of us who are married, we do it all the time. When a person is dating, it sounds terrible. But how many times, there's so many things that we do with our wife that we think, you know, every once in a while, you know, you think that you're interested in speaking with her, and then 5-10 minutes when the conversation's going in the wrong direction, so then the phone rings and conveniently pick it up. So the truth is, you and I do it all the time. What's the difference? The difference is that dating is already on a pedestal. You know, everything is looked at as a microscope. And everybody's going to talk about it afterwards. I feel bad for him that we're saying over this story. But once we're married, it's behind closed doors. So then all of these types of things, all of these things that aren't really thinking about what my wife really needs, so then all of a sudden, all these things are kosher. All these things are kosher. So before we do it, before we pick up the phone 10 minutes into the conversation, and we're not exactly happy where the tone of this conversation is going, or we're totally bored, you know, it's been 6 minutes and we've been listening to shopping for 6 minutes, there's only a certain amount the guy could take, right? Nachon, it's true, there is only a certain amount. But how much time did you give your chavrusa today, and how much time did you give your wife? If we think about it, it's very embarrassing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, that we should think about the zuvas, and we should be able to relate to others with the kavod haracha that they deserve. If we do, then we'll be able to speak to people in the appropriate manner. And if we are, then ultimately we'll be tinatzo min hakas and wazocha to midas hanoka. Right.